I want to study with you in preparation for Rosh Hashanah, which is just around the bend, a piece in the Zichronos, which is the center of the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. After describing the day Ata Zocher Ma'ase Olam Pokev Kol Yitzurei Kedem, you remember the deeds of everyone in the universe, you recall all the creatures, you scrutinize all our actions, and then at the end of that paragraph it says, Mereshis Kazos Hodata, you made this known from the beginning of creation, Umilefanim Osa Gilisa, and you revealed it from early times. So this nature, the character of the day of Rosh Hashanah as the Yom HaDin, is somehow connected with the beginning of creation. It was revealed from the earliest of times. And then the pasuk says, Mereshis Kazos Hodata, Milefnim Osa Gilisa, Zeh Yom Tchilas Masecha, today is the anniversary of the start of your handiwork, Zikaron Liyom Rishon, a remembrance of the first day, Kichok LiYisraelu, it's a decree for Israel, Mishpat L'Elohei Yaakov, a judgment day for the house of Jacob. And what we see here, there are two elements of Rosh Hashanah that come together in this description of Rosh Hashanah at the end of the first paragraph of Malchus. The first element is that this is Tchilas Ma'asecha. This is the day of creation, Yom Rishon, the first day of the universe. And this was revealed from the start. And secondly, that this is a Yom HaDin, it's a day of judgment. I'd like to read to you one of the commentaries on this Musaf Zichronos. This is the Ksav V'Kabbalah, German Jew, lived some two centuries ago. He writes, Davar Zesh Hayom Hu Yom HaDin, the character of the day as a day of judgment, which is not revealed in the Torah, Hodata, you notified, you publicized it, Od Mibracious Brias Olam, from the beginning of the creation of the universe. Umilifnim, and all the way back then, Gilisa Davarzeh, you revealed that this is a day of judgment. Somehow, inherent in creation, on that very first day that the world was created, is the Yom HaDin, is the character of this day as a day of judgment. Ki ze hayom bo hischaltas ma'asecha ba'olam, this was the day when your handiwork began in the universe. And hu yom zikaron, it's the day when God remembers in judgment all His creatures. V'hu chok liYisrael, l'fichach nikva yom zeh, Mishpat, Liyom Mishpat, Lelokei Yaakov. So somehow the Lefichach here, the Ksav HaKabbalah, tells me that there's a connection between these two facets or dimensions of Rosh Hashanah. Number one, the dimension of Rosh Hashanah as the day of creation, Zayom Tchilas Ma'asecha. And number two, therefore, he says, Lefichach, it's a day of judgment. So what I'd like to try to understand is, what's the connection between Din and the creation of the universe? Why is it that on the anniversary of creation, that day, there's got to be a judgment? You know, judgment is something that doesn't have to be related to creation. At the face of it, I don't see the connection between these two concepts. Now, the very fact that Rosh Hashanah is the day of the creation of the universe, that itself is a matter of controversy amongst the Tanoim. And this is recorded in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. And Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, one of the Amoraim, I mean, we're going back a long time in Jewish history, says, Keman Matzlinen Ha'idna, according to which opinion do we pray, meaning the Machzor of Rav Shmuel, reflects one particular opinion, Zeh Yom Tchilas Ma'asecha, Zikar Liyom Rishon, Keman, Kerabi Eliezer, Diomar B'Tishrei Nivra Olam. The fact that our piyut and our tefillah, the way it was structured by the Anshei Knesset Gedolah so long in the past, is proof positive that we accept and embrace the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer that indeed the world was created during Tishrei. And not according to the other opinion in the Tanoim that the world was created in Nisan. So we definitely see that Zeh Hayom Tchilas Masecha, reflecting the fact that the anniversary of the creation of the universe is on Rosh Hashanah, is integrated into the fabric of Zichronos, which is all about God remembering us and judging us. There's an integral connection here between Brias HaOlam and Yom Mishpat Yom Din. I want to mention to you a question of the Chidah, and this is going to be our second question that we want to cover today, and that is, he doesn't understand why is the Day of Judgment on Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of a new year. Wouldn't it make more sense, he asked, Hayoroi Lios Yom Hadin B'Sof Hashanah? It would make sense that if God is judging man for his past deeds, then at the end of the year, because annually there's going to be a Day of Judgment, there should be a Yom Hadin. The Chidah calculates that there are 30 days in Elul. We should take two-thirds, that means the first 20 days of Elul, establish that after those 20 days of Elul, as we enter into the third, the last 10 days of Elul, that should be Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur will be the last day in Elul, in which case Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Metshuva, and Yom HaKippurim, to clinch the din, will all be within last year. It doesn't make sense, he says, that Rosh Hashanah should be the Day of Judgment when it's a brand new year. Why judge a person for a new year? Judge a person for the deeds that came in that year. In other words, the Yom HaDin should be sandwiched, should be placed within the framework of that year, not in the next year. A brilliant, brilliant question. I want to add a third question that always bothered my mind. I'm going to be facetious when I say one of the largest simonim in Shulchan Aruch is in Aruch Chaim Tov Resh Gimel. I'm joking with you. It's minute. It's tiny. Bo Sif Echad. It only has one sif. And even that one sif is not so dramatic. He says, Af Misha Eino Nizar Mi Pashal Kusim V'Yaser Shmei Tshuva Tzarech Lizar. The whole year round he eats bread that's produced, you know, by companies, by non-Jewish companies. You know, in America we used to have Arnold's bread or something, you know, you buy it. But on Aseres Metshuva, Tzarech Lizar, you should be careful, you should only eat Pas Yisrael. And that's the whole simon here. And what's the big deal? And not only that, I find this kind of like an exercise in like who you're fooling. You know, the whole year round, and even after Aseres Metshuva, you're going to go back to eat Pas Akum, but on these 10 days you're going to be makpid to eat Pas Yisrael. It's a bit strange. I want to study with you the Marsha on the sugya that we mentioned in Rosh Hashanah of Zion, that Keman Matzlinan Aidna, our tefillah reflects the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer that today Rosh Hashanah is the anniversary of the creation of the world. Tchilas Maasecha, says the Marsha. I don't understand. This will be the fourth question that we have today. Why is it that Rosh Hashanah, according to Rabbi Eliezer, should be the day that we commemorate the anniversary of the creation of the world? Rabbi Eliezer says that the world was created on the 25th of Elul. In other words, it was only 6 days later on Rosh Hashanah, the first of Tishrei, that man was created. But if you are commemorating the anniversary of creation, it would be more appropriate that you should have chosen the 25th of Elul. And we can just summarize our four questions now. Number one, what is the connection between Rosh Hashanah as the anniversary of creation and Rosh Hashanah as the Yom HaDin? Second question, the Chidah's question, why is it that Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of a new year and it's the Yom HaDin on last year? Shouldn't the Yom HaDin find itself located at the end of the year? The third question was why we should be makpid about Pas Yisrael from the new year, from during the Aseres Metshuva. And finally, the fourth question, even if I grant you, like Rabbi Eliezer, that we're commemorating the creation of the world was created 6 days earlier before Rosh Hashanah, on the 25th of Elul, that should have been the day of Rosh Hashanah. Regarding the last question, the Marsha offers an answer. It's quite profound and very subtle. I'll try to read it and explain it the best I can. The Marsha says that Zeh Hayom Tchilas Ma'asecha means that man is the tachlis, is the ultimate purpose and goal of creation. Until man was created, during those 6 days of creation, Ki'ilu lo nivra shum davar. It's as if Kodem Brias Olam, there was no Bria whatsoever. All those Brios were to set up a framework, a world, a universe within which man would exist. But really the universe, in a sense, was created, at least from the perspective of the goal and the purpose of creation, on the first of Tishrei, 6 days late on Yom HaShishi, when man was created. Therefore, he says, Rosh Hashanah can be described as Tchilas Ma'asecha, insofar as this is the anniversary of the birth, the creation of man, Shehu Ikar HaMaisim. And therefore, when we say Zikaron Yom Rishon, what we mean is Yom Rishon of the apex, or the purpose, the goal, the destiny of creation, that is Rosh Hashanah, on the day in which man was created. So that's called Zayom Tchilas Ma'asecha. The next part of the liturgy says Zikaron Yom Rishon. Zikaron, says the Marsha, Zikaron Yom Rishon, it's a Zikaron for the first day of man's creation, and that Zikaron and that judgment is a Zikaron for the first day of man's creation, which took place on Rosh Hashanah. Aval Yom Chaf Hei V'Elul Lo Nikra Yom Rishon. You'll never find anywhere, that's what the Marashah claims, that Chaf Hei Elul, the day of the first day of creation, is called Yom Rishon. It's never called Yom Rishon. It's called Yom Echad. Vayiver Vayivok Yom Echad. And he says that Echad, according to the Medrash, refers to the fact that Hashem is Hashem Echad. On that first day of creation, God is the unity of God is reflected in the universe. But Rishon, meaning which is the first day of creation is 6 days later. First means in a progression that leads to the ultimate goal of creation. The first day is only called Yom Echad, it's not Yom Rishon. The culmination of creation is on the sixth day, on Aleph Tishrei Rosh Hashanah. So one thing we see clearly here, that the day of Rosh Hashanah, insofar as we accept the Shita of Rabbi Lezer, is the day that we commemorate the anniversary of creation. Technically, it's not the creation as that process began on Yom Echad, but as the process reached its culmination, its purpose, its tachlis, when man was created on the sixth day on Rosh Hashanah. We still haven't answered our other questions, though, in terms of why the judgment is on that day of creation, and why is it that the judgment is postponed till the new year? Shouldn't it have been done in the previous year? I want to learn with you a Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos on Daf Tezayin Amid Beis quotes Rabbi Lazar. We're not talking about Rabbi Eliezer, the Tana, Rabbi Lazar the Amora. The Gemara testifies that each Amora had his own, you know, post Shmoneh Esrei prayer. At the end of Rabbi Lazar's Shmoneh Esrei, he would recite the following prayer: Yehi Ratzon Milfanecha Hashem Elokeinu Shetishkon Bipurenu. You should be Shochein. You should reside amongst our family, our community, and that should bring Ava to our community, and Achva, and Shalom, Vareus. All this should be Shochein in our community. Vitarbek Vulenu B'Talmidim. We should be able to teach the Torah to many Talmidim. Vitatzliach Sofenu Achris V'Sikva. That at the end, Sofenu, we should be successful. That's called Achris. V'sikva. What is V'sikva? And hope. It seems to be a word that sort of hangs and, you know, dangles in the middle of the air. So Rashi says, achris v'sikva, shetehe achrisenu, that the end should be tova, should be for good, v'nira mashe kivinu. He adds a few words between achris and tikva. Achris means that our ultimate should be good, should be positive, but we should see v'nira, we should see the realization of mashe kivinu, of that which he aspired for from the beginning. So there's a beginning and an end. And Rashi says that the prayer of Rabbi Elazar was that the end should be a realization of the beginning. The beginning is full of tikva, you know, young person. We build a family. We have all sorts of dreams and hopes for the future. That those aspirations should come to fulfillment, should reach their fruition and realization at the achris. That was the nature and the essence of the tefillah of Rabbi Elazar. But once again, my friends, we are seeing something fascinating here about the connection between the end and the beginning. And it works almost in the opposite way, almost l'mafreya. From the end, we go back to the beginning. The end is going to be a reflection and a realization of the tikva, of the hope, at the very outset, at the beginning. If this be the case, maybe we could shed a new light on the first Rashi in Chumash. Rashi says, Bereshis bara. What's the extra bays? It could have said Reshis bara. What's Bereshis? Ein amikra zeh omer ela darsheni. And what is the drasha that's implicit in Bereshis bara lokim? Shedarshu chazal bishvil haTorah shenikreis Reshis. And that's based on a pasuk in Mishlei, Reshis darko. Ubishvil Yisrael shenikru Reshis. Klal Yisrael is called Reshis, meaning the purpose and the goal of creation is to give the Torah to Klal Yisrael. Once again, what we're seeing is that there's a process of creation, but it's motivated by a goal that has to come to fruition. And that goal is what motivates creation and justifies it. From the inception, meaning from the moment of creation, there's a goal. This is what's called in philosophy teleology, meaning a purpose. The action and the involvement of God in creation has a goal to it, and that goal is Yisrael and the Torah. Klal Yisrael will receive the Torah. So once again, we have the Achris, which is Klal Yisrael and receiving the Torah, but we have the Reshis, which is creation, and the Achris is inherent in the creation. The creative process from the get-go is for a definite purpose, which will be achieved down the line. But already in creation, there is, shall I say, the buds or the seeds of reaching fruition. And here I'm reminded of the Gaon Mivilna. You know, there's a siddur called the Siddur Agra. It's his own siddur. And in Baruch Sha'amar, where we say Baruch Osa Maisa Bracious, he has a fascinating piece. And he says, "V'pnei shekol ha'ascholas dovar hu yoser michetzi v'kolel es kol chelkeha." He says every beginning goes even more than halfway. The beginning is so significant; it's so primary. It takes you almost to all the pieces of the puzzle. It's the kickoff, as we'd say in football terms. V'hi shkula keneged kula. Whatever is called reishis, whatever is the beginning, that equals everything that happens later. Everything is a realization and a fruition of the Reshis. So Baruch Osa Maisib Reshis is a rule that anything that's called the Rush or the Rishon has within it the entire, you know, it's equal in import and significance to the entire process that succeeds it. Therefore, for example, the beginning of the Torah is that Moshe gives the Torah. Moshe, Chazal say, in the Bereshis in Dvarim Rabbah, is Shakul Kineged Shishim Ribu. He, Moshe, represents the Reshis. He's going to begin the process of passing on the Torah, and therefore he's Shakul Kineged Shishim Ribu. He's as weighty as all of Klal Yisrael. He quotes the Gemara Nedarim that Mila was the first mitzvah that was done on the Guf. Avraham Avinu did the mitzvah on the Guf. And the Gemara Nedarim says that Mila Shkula Kineged Kol HaMitzvahs. Mila is as significant, as weighty as all the mitzvahs. Why? Says the Gaon, because it's the Rishon, it's the first mitzvah. Tzitzis is the first mitzvah masses. When we wake up in the morning, the first thing we do is put on the tefillin, so the tzitzis. And there's already a remez that Avraham Avinu was mekayim the mitzvah of tzitzis. It says in Michut v'atzrof. Now that's a sugya in Sota. And tzitzis, guess what? The Gemara says in Shmuas Chavtes, ishkula k'neged kol ha-mitzvos. Why? Says the Gemara, because he arishona le-mitzvos. And then he goes on to speak about other cases that are rishon or reishis. For example, he gives the case of, okay, we mentioned Mila already, and then he goes on. Oh, here's what I wanted to share with you. The Gaon finishes up this presentation by taking a look at the first bracha of the Amida. The first bracha, which we call Avos, is in that bracha, Nizkar Ba Ches Yud Shvachim. There are 18 praises of God in the first bracha of Shmona Esrei, Shishkula Keneged Yud Ches Brachos. Meaning, we already have 18 blessings and praises to Hashem in the first blessing, and then it's going to be realized and fleshed out, if you will, with all the other brachos. But already inherent in the first bracha, in the Reishis, we have everything that's going to come afterwards, all the 18 brachos. And I want to begin to understand the significance of Reishis, of the Rishon, of the Rosh, the first. Everything inheres, as we said, in the Reishis. And I want to call to your attention a shmooze from Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, back in Tavshin Lamed Beis for Parshas Vayera. And in the middle of that shmooze, Reb Chaim goes into a discussion about Acher. Elisha ben Avuya, who is the Rebbe of Rabbi Meir, and you remember he went off to Derech. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Chagiga, Tana Rabbanan, Maisa the Acher Shayorochev al Asus b'Shabbos, and Acher is riding his horse on Shabbos. Rabbi Meir is walking behind him, asking him questions in Torah, until finally Acher turns to Rabbi Meir and says, "Ad kan tchum Shabbos. You know, I can continue on my horse, but you, Rabbi Meir, have to stay here." And when Acher says to Rabbi Meir, "Chazar b'cha," you know, go back to the Yishuv, Rabbi Meir turns to him and says, "Afatoch chazar b'cha, you also go back," meaning you do tshuva. And Elisha ben Avuya, Acher responds, he says, "Lo kvar amarti l'cha, I already told you. Shamati me'achori apargod, I heard a baskol, shuvu bonim shovavim chutz me'acher." Meaning, I already got the word from on high that there's no tshuva for Acher. Tosfos says that that's the Bavli. The Bavli assumes that Acher was not willing or didn't give any effort to do tshuva because he heard a baskal. But he quotes the Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi has a different explanation as to why Acher refused to do tshuva. Lama irlo kach, etc. And Acher, according to the Yerushalmi, it's reported that he turns to Rabbi Meir and he says, "Rabbi Akiva Rabcha Lokach Darash? Didn't Rabbi Akiva have a drasha on a pasuk in Koheles Perek Zayin? Tov Achris Dover Meri Shiso?" And Rabbi Akiva interpreted as meaning that the Achris Dover is Tov Meri Shiso. No, it's the Achris Dover is good because the beginning was good. Meri Shiso, according to Rabbi Akiva's interpretation, is because of the Reishis. And I, says Elisha ben Avuya, I had a very bad Reishis. And Yerushalmi goes on to tell us what happened. You remember the story that Avuya, the father of Elisha, who was considered one of the giants in Yerushalayim, on the day of the Mila of Elisha, he called together all the Gedolim of Yerushalayim, he put them in one house. He put Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yeshua, two great Tanoim, in a different place. And he offered them food and the banquet for the Mila. Yashvu v'nis asku b'divrei Torah. And they were having a great time learning together Torah. Yarda eish min ha-shamayim v'kifosam. A heavenly fire surrounded the Amoraim when they were involved in Torah learning. Amalan Avuya. So Avuya, the father of Elisha, turns to them and he says, "Gavron, you great, great scholars, Ma Bosem, did you come here to my house? Lisrof is basi, this is going to burn up my whole house." Amrulo Chas V'Shalom. Eliyoshvim Hayinu Vechozun Dibre Torah Mitorah Nevim Ksuvim Vayu Advarim Smechim Kinesinasa Misinai. We were able to duplicate and replicate Nesinas HaTorah. Velo Nitna V'yesh, wasn't the Torah given V'yesh, right? The Sukkim described the fire at the time of Matan Torah. Now at this point, Avuya was so impressed, you know, that the Amoraim were able to learn Torah to such a level that they would bring down the Eish from Shemaim as if it was Matan Torah. Omar Avuya declares, Ho'el V'kach, if that's the Kocha Shel Torah, that im yiskayim haben hazeh, if God will see to it that this child will grow and flourish, is l'Torah ani mafrisha. I want to separate him for Torah. He should be dedicated totally to Torah. And the Yerushalmi says, l'fisha lo aysa kavanosa l'shamayim. Why did Avuya decide to separate his son and designate him for Torah study? Because he was so impressed by the Eish Torah. Is lefisha lo haisa kavanos l'shamayim lefichach lo niskaimu bo. Therefore, his desire that his son should be such a Torah giant never came to fruition. And this story in Yerushalmi focuses on achris tov mireishisa, that because the rachis, the roots, you know, we're talking about the mila when Elisha was brought into the covenant, were not L'Shem Shamayim. There was no Kavana L'Shem Shamayim, and they were not good. Therefore, the Achris of Elisha is also not good. Says Rav Chaim, but I don't get it. We find in Chazal all sorts of explanations as to why Elisha went off the Derech. For example, the Gemara says that Elisha went off the Derech because Zemer Yevani Lo Pasak Mifume was very impressed and dazzled by the culture of the Greeks, their art, their music. And then the Gemara says, Amrulav al Akhir Bishoshaya Omin mi Beis HaMedrash. When he stood up for the Beis HaMedrash, he forgot to lock himself, you know, tie himself down. His Harvey Sifre Minus Noshri Mitiko, you know, his briefcase revealed that he had all sorts of philosophical works that were full of apikorsis, Sifre Minu. So obviously he was impacted by the Greek culture, and that's why he went off the Derech. And then there's another Gemara in Masechta Kiddushin which says that, you know why he went off the Derech? Is because he was present to witness the death of Chutzpis HaMeturgamon. And if you remember, Chutzpis HaMeturgamon was killed by the Romans in a very cruel way. And then the swine, the pig, Dover Acher, took his tongue and was Gorer's tongue through the dirt. And when Elisha witnessed this terrible catastrophe, he declared, Pesha Hefik Margolius Yelachech Ofar? Could it be that the tongue that spoke, you know, jewels and pearls of Torah would now lick the dirt? Nafakhata. He went out and he sinned. He became an apikorsis, he became Acher. So Rav Chaim Shlevitz wants to know, how do we reconcile this? On the one hand, we have the whole story about Elisha's bris with his father Avuya at Kavod Shalom L'Shem Shamayim. On the other hand, we have incidents in the life and influences in the life of Elisha that took him off the Derech. Says Rav Chaim, V'nira, it appears to me, Sha'af al pi shaharbe garmim hayulo li'acher she'yotza l'tarbis. So there were many influences and causes that impacted on Achim and made him go the wrong way. Mikolokom behechrech, we have to go back to the beginning, and we definitely have to conclude Sheimatze will find in his beginning he's a shorish ra bereshiso. This guy, if the Achris is bad, then you know for sure, proof positive, that the reshis is not good. There's something rotten in the roots. Shemimenu tzomchu aperos haroyim etzal Acher. There was something in the way Acher was being raised as a baby from the age of 8 days old that was rotten in Denmark, as we say. And as a result, down the line, Acher is going to go off the Derech. Vashoresh, and where is that root? Why is the root of this vegetation so bad? It's etzal avishol and it's kavin l'shem shamayim. There's no stira here. There's got to be something wrong with the Achris, and then we understand the Rashis. And that's where Rabbi Akiva was dashing on the pasuk in Kohelis when he says, Tov achris davashu tov mereshisa. It's got to be good for the reishis in order to be good in the achris. And the corollary is that if it's not good in the achris, you know it wasn't good in the reishis. The roots are bad. And basically, Rabbi Akiva says, this takes us back to Parshas Nitzavim, because in Parshas Nitzavim, Moshe Rabbeinu declares, Pen yesh b'chem shoresh pora rosh velana. Perhaps there is amongst you a root with gall and wormwood. In other words, the bitter roots will cause the ultimate fruits that grow from these roots to be bitter. And if there's anyone here, says Moshe Rabbeinu, who has his heart set on rebellion against God, chas shalom on avodah zarah, then that's going to be a very bad root. And down the line, the next generation or generations down the line will be evil, will be rotten, because the achris can only be as good as its rachis. And if the rachis is rotten, then you know that the achris is going to be rotten. If the roots are bitter, then the ultimate produce and the fruits on those trees or in those vegetations will be bitter as well. And so let's just summarize, Rabbosa. What we've seen over and over again is that rachis, the beginning, plays the major role. You have to get off to a good start. According to the Gaon, there were many mitzvahs that were given with the name Reishis. They were the first in the Guf, first in the Maisa, first one to transmit Torah. If the roots are good, the entire experience that flows, that emanates from it, is all inherent in the Reishis. And that's why we find all the brachas of Shmon Esrei and all the praises, the 18 praises, inherent in the very first bracha. We see Reishis Bar Elokim, that God created the world Reishis with Klal Yisrael, the acceptance of the Torah. Inherent in the Reishis is the entire development and the goal that has to be reached. And we see it here in the case of the Marsha, who says that the day that commemorates the anniversary of creation is going to be the sixth day of creation, because that's the ultimate goal. And Rav Chaim Shulevitz's chiddush is that Acher is rotten and he goes off the derech. And why? The answer is because his beginning is not good. The shoresh is pore rosh velana. The shoresh was shalol l'shem shemayim. All the other things, the experiences, were his freedom of choice, and that's what impacted on him to go off the derech. But you know that the roots were not good. The source and the reishis was right. And here I want to share with you an insight of Rabbi Aaron Cutler, Zichrono Livracha, in his Sefer Mishnas Rabbi Aaron. He quotes a Gemara in Ksubis, a very famous Gemara in Ksubis on Daf Kuf Gimel, that tells the story about Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia says that I could single-handedly guarantee that the Torah would not be forgotten, that there would be a continuation and transmission of Torah. What would I do? I would plant flax seeds, and when the flax grows, I would weave nets, and with these nets, I would go out and capture tzvaim, deer, and with the deer, I would take their hides, and on their hides, I would inscribe the Torah and divide up into different books, and each book would be given to another child and taught to another child. He's got this whole fantastical plan and complex constellation in order to guarantee that the Torah would be passed on to the next generation. So Rav Aaron says that the Gaon Mivilna asked the question, why did Rav Chia feel compelled to do all this tircha, to go through every step and stage in the process? Why could he just go into his local shop, you know, buy some nets, or maybe he could even buy vellum for a Sefer Torah? But no, he had to be personally involved in all this, you know, the energy and sweat and toil in order to create and pass on the Torah. Says the Gaon, you see from this something unbelievable. Everything depends upon the Kavana and the Kedusha of the beginning, of the process, step by step, from Reishis. Afilu sibos hakodmos rechokos miyot. Even things that seem so far removed from the actual teaching and transmission of Torah, like, for example, planting the flax seeds in order to create these nets and capturing the animals, all this has to be done with the right kavana and bikdusha, so that ultimately the fruits of this labor will be will be wonderful, will be positive, and we can guarantee that it all depends on the beginning of the process. And therefore he says in the name of the Gaon, that the Gaon says that the axe that's used to cut down trees in order to build the Beis HaMikdash, that axe has to be made l'shem shamayim. The entire process leading up to the building of a shul, if it's done l'shem shamayim, is the Gaon promises, shalo yispalu bo b'kavana zara. In that synagogue, there will never be a prayer with the wrong kavanos. And the Gemara tells us in Masechta Yevamos that in the place of Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Lazar was of the opinion that machshirei mitzvah dochim Shabbos. That means to the same extent that you're allowed to do milah on the eighth day on Shabbos, all the preparatory stages from the beginning to the end are docha Shabbos. In other words, we view milah not just the act of cutting, but every preparatory stage that went into the milah is included in machshirei milah dochenes haShabbos. It's all part of one process of milah, and it overrides the Shabbos because the Torah says milah b'yom haShishi b'yom haShmini afilu b'Shabbos. And therefore, for example, when they cut down trees, and with those trees they would burn them and make coals, all this could, and with those that hot fire they could make the barzel and use it as an ismol. You know, everything from the beginning, even the cutting down of the trees, is considered machshirei milah, and it's doches haShabbos. And Tosfos says over there in Masechta Yevamos Staf Yudalid that miskavnim hayu lahavi atzmam lidekach mishum chibuv mitzvah. He says they deliberately wanted to embellish the mitzvah and express that cherish the extent to which they cherish and they love the mitzvah by getting involved in the entire process that would lead up to the milah. Says Rav Aaron Kotler, you know what? I would suggest the following. Since the mitzvah of milah is so unique, it's a continuous mitzvah that one takes from the beginning till the end of his life. It's the os bris, and it reflects on Yud Gimel Brisos. Therefore, the milah and the entire process that culminates in milah has to be performed with kedusha, with sanctity. And according to Rabbi Lazar, it's all docha Shabbos from the get-go. The whole process, even parts which seem so remotely related, like cutting down the trees to create the coals, to heat up the fire, to make the barzel, all of that, the whole ganze business, is all part of the mitzvah of milah. And if it's all done with the right kavana, then the final product is unbelievable. And he goes on to say that this kavana ritzuya and the kedusha yisera is going to have the impact ultimately on man, and it's going to help man and aid him to become kadosh, to become sanctified. And when they cut down the trees on Shabbos, according to Rabbi Lazar, who holds Machshirei Milah Dochenes HaShabbos, the Kavana has got to be for Kedusha, it's got to be for Milah. Otherwise, it cannot override the Shabbos. It's only when I cut down the trees for the sake of Milah, and I have that Kavana in mind, for the sake of the Kedusha of Milah, then I'm permitted, according to Rabbi Lazar, to involve myself in such a Malacha on Shabbos. Everything has to be done for the sake of the mitzvah. And this, I believe, my friends, is inherent in the famous rule, Sof Maisa B'Machshava Techila. The end is in the Machshava Techila. When we weave chutim for tzitzis, tviya, it's got to be lishma. And when we prepare the cloth for a Sefer Torah, or for a mezuzah, it's got to be lishma. The lishma in the creation changes and impacts on everything that's going to happen later. For example, when Avraham Avinu tells Sarah, when the Archim come in at the beginning of Vayera, Lushi Vasi Ugos. So Chazal say, why did he have to tell him Lushi Vasi Ugos? What's with the Lisha? The answer is, have Kavoda at the moment of the Lisha, when you need the dough, in the beginning of the process, that you are going to create Ugos, you're going to follow Hashem's, you know, Mahu Rachum and Mahu Machnes Archim. We are going to imitate God. It's going to be a high level of Kedusha, of a mitzvah of achnosis orchim lushi. Create those ugos with the right kavana in mind, Everything we do at the very beginning, in the kickoff, is crucial. I always think when I get on a plane that as soon as the plane takes off, I'm already there at my destination. Because everything is inherent in the takeoff. Once the plane is up in the air, you're there. You're at your location. Is Mimela Rabosai, let's come back to square one. We began with the Zichronos of Musaf Rosh Hashanah, Meirishis Kazos Hodata, Umilifnim Osa Galisa. Why is it that in the process of creation, there's din, there's judgment? And the answer is because everything depends on the Rishis. If day X, which in this case is the sixth day of creation, when man is created, which is Rosh Hashanah, according to Rabbi Elazar, Zayom Tchilas Masecha, if that's the day of creation, then that's going to be the day of judgment. The judgment is inherent in the creation. And the reason for that is because, as Rabbi Akiva darshins, everything depends upon the Rishis. And the Pasuk in Koheles tells us that Tov Achris Dovar May Rishis May Tov Achris Dovar Shu Tov May Rishiso. How great is the Achris? Because it's Tov May Rishiso. From the very beginning, it's Tov. God created a beautiful world. And that day of creation is going to determine a great deal as far as what's going to go down the line. And that, of course, is applicable to mankind, to the Jewish community, and to each and every one of us as individuals. And therefore, when we commemorate our creation on the day of creation, Zayom Tchilas Masecha, we know that we're being judged, because this is the day of judgment. This is the day that's going to determine so much of what's going to happen throughout the entire year to come. And now we can answer the Chida's question: why is it that Rosh Hashanah comes in the new year and not in the old year? The answer is the judgment is on what's coming before in the future, not on what happened in the past. There's judgment on the past as well, but the judgment of Rosh Hashanah is to create the Achris, the end of this year, based on the Rishis. And therefore, our preparation and our avoda, our responsibility on the day of Rosh Hashanah, is to focus all our attention on the Rishis. This Rosh Hashanah should be a day for all of us in which our prayers to Hashem are on a very deep, profound level, in which we dedicate ourselves to Hashem. And if we start the year off on the good foot, on the right foot, if we can have a day that is inspiring, in which we feel the closest to Hashem, then we know that Tov Achris, because of the Tov Rishis. See, He wrote some, may it be His will, that this Rosh Hashanah, after we put all the kochos that we have into experiencing this day in the right way, it will be a beautiful day for all of us, our families, and Klal Yisrael. And the Achris, the rest of it, will be wonderful, be Tov. It won't be Chas V'Sholom like Poer Rosh Balano, like the case of Acher, but rather it'll be that this day is Shakul Keneged the entire year, like all the other mitzvahs that are Rishis. We should be zocha to have a day of kedusha, of the right kavod l'shem shemayim, of love of Hashem, of being mekabel ol malchus shemayim, and then we're guaranteed that the year to come will be a mirtz Hashem, a wonderful year. Will all be written down b'sifrei chayim li'alter kein yiratzon. Amen. If there are any questions, please, now is a great time to ask. Just to summarize, we saw a number of sources today. We saw the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. We saw the way the Ksav HaKabbal interpreted that these two concepts are interdependent, creation and Mishpat and judgment. We saw this concept of Rishis and everything, the goal and what's going to happen down the line is inherent in the Rishis. If the Rishis is good, then we guarantee that the rest is going to be good as well. That's why we have to put all our kochos into Rosh Hashanah.